As I told you, we're on this journey of the Bible, discovering all the truths and the promises and the covenants that God had made with some important people in the Bible. And one of the men that we discussed and we spoke about the week before our dedication was Abraham, a great man. The New Testament speaks about him, the father of faith. And from one man, God blessed the whole nation. You know that Jerusalem was in siege. You'll find that historically proven, which is a fact. And then when they were in siege and all the Jewish people had dispersed and left to all parts of the world, imagine that they came back again and they are now a powerful nation, Israel. Why are they featuring on American news, on English news, on African news, and on news all around the world? Not just because of the war and the fighting. God's drawing our attention to something, and that is the promises and all that He spoke about in His Word, that I will bless that nation, and anybody will bless them. So, that's where we come. That's where Christianity comes from. It comes from Judaism. So we didn't start just 2,000 years ago when Christ walked on the face of the earth. But our religion, our walk with God comes right back from Genesis and comes back from the time of Abraham when God gave him a promise. We said in Genesis 12, right? Genesis 11 is where people were confused with different languages. We noticed that at that part of the time in history, everybody spoke one language. You always wonder how come languages change, isn't so? And there's a story that the Bible gives to us. I don't know any other earthly story that they have covered. And they cover a lot of things now, you know, through all the technology that they have. But the Bible tells us this is where everything changed with languages and cultures, because we all were one people at that time. But what happened was people started to build this tower in Genesis 11 and they wanted to reach God. They had good intentions, I suppose, but it's wrong. And God wanted them to live this way. They wanted to live that way. You know, just reaching God. God wanted them to fill the earth, be fruitful and multiply. Spread the love right here on earth. You know, and they all grouped together and started to build this tower and to reach God at that point. So he needed that to be spread out amongst the people. And he confused their language and they stopped the building. And that's when you find people moving to groups and cultures. And they spread out all over the world and started their own communities and own nations now. So that's what happened in Genesis 11. So that's great that the Bible covers all these interesting stories. So when your kids ask you and little kids ask you at some point, Mom, Dad, how come, you know, people are speaking different languages? How come we look different? If you live near the equator and live in Africa, of course you'll be darker skinned, isn't so? So people moved to those places and looked differently, spoke different things, ate different kinds of food. You know, they lived differently, so it just doesn't mean that we don't eat what they eat, that they're not as good as we are. You know, they're all as good as God has made us, because in the Bible it says in Psalms that we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't it? So it doesn't matter what we look like, but we're all created in the image of God. So everything got confused there, where people were moved apart, lived in different continents of the world. And they said, you know, scientists have proven that the earth at one time was just flat and just all connected. They can find that. I don't know how they find that out geographically, that everything was just together, all the land. And then it was at that point, the Bible doesn't give us all the scientific facts. It's not written for science anyway. It's to give us the history of the past, and it's given us the future of what's to come. Isn't that great? It's current and also tells us about the future. So that's what happened in Genesis 11. Genesis 12 is an interesting story of where God gives a promise to a man, calls him out. Already he's in a place of comfort and security. Let's read in Genesis 12, and we covered some of that story 2 weeks ago. And this is what he's saying in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And he says, and the Lord had said to Abram, chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country from your family. Can you say get out with me? Get out. Come on, let's say it louder. Get out. Say it one more time. Get out. Now, that's what God told him. Get out. We get stuck there already. Isn't it? Getting out is getting out of the place of comfort, getting out of the place of security, getting out of the place where you know everything and where it is and you feel quite comfortable with it. Isn't it? And God is saying, get out. Get out. So he talks to Abraham like that. Get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house. Wow, more security there. In my father's house, you know, I got all that security. You know, if I'm having it hard with my livestock and my finances and things have been rocked up and I get redundant, daddy is there, you know, to lift me up and pick me up and help me. Isn't that true? Sometimes when you depend on people and friends and family members, it happens a lot in Africa and amongst our culture, isn't it? So when kids get married, they actually still stay with family members amongst the Asian culture, the Indians in South Africa, and they build these big homes and they build upon it and build upon it, and families live there. And that's how they actually grow their businesses, because they don't have additional expenses. So they have one mortgage and they put it into their businesses and their shops, and they just start to expand and grow with it, right? So that's in one way, that's a good thing, because they come together as community and they'll support each other. Notice that Muslim businessmen are becoming very successful. And a lot of places where they are, the families live closely together, and family members will help in the businesses. Children will help. You know, the husband's wife, uncles will come in there, and they will all help in, and the businesses become prosperous. But today, I mean, in our kind of lifestyle, in our kind of families that we have, you know, but I was thinking years back, if my dad had told me that, you know, no matter what my career path was, I'll leave and I'll just take on the business. You know, it's changed now, isn't it? It's different. But the security, what I'm saying is that the security is always in the homes and in the families. Maybe it's different in our Western culture, where we don't depend on our parents, but we leave home when we're about 18. But then we take on something else altogether. And our comfort and security is perhaps our job, the place where we live, the friends that we connect with, and all those that we are associated with. So all that makes you feel secure in your environment. But when God comes along and says, I want you to get out of that place to another place that I'm calling you into, then we start to panic and we get nervous about that. And it becomes difficult. It's always a case where God wants to unleash blessings upon us, that he wants to take us to a place of blessings, that he wants us to get out of where we are. So I'll always look at my own life and in my own story, when I see where I am at the present moment and see what I am and what I've attained and what fruits are in my life and in my ministry, then I begin to think of where I am. Did I get out of my security, my comfort, out of the ordinary, and go into the unusual, go into the unknown, go into a place that may not seem comfortable? Canaan was a wild place at that time. That's the place that God was leading him into. Oh God, not Canaan. You know? Oh, not that place, God. Ooh, wow. Like when they told me, when I left to come to Wolverhampton, right? I didn't know anything about Wolverhampton. I didn't even research it on the internet. I'm glad I didn't. Out of darkness cometh light. Let's be positive about Wolverhampton. That's what they say, right? And that's the motto, out of darkness comes light. So we meet a friend, a close friend of mine, and a really good guy, and he's always positive. And he lived in London. We hadn't connected, we were from the same church, we hadn't seen each other for a long time, so he's based in London. And we meet at the airport in Johannesburg, and we're taking off flight to come here to England. First time, family, lock, stock and barrel, all that stuff we've got in bags. And then he said this, he said, where are you going to? I said, Wolverhampton. He said, Wolverhampton? My, I tell you what, you know, all the fear could come and the red lights could come on in our lives, thinking, did we hear God? Then he went on to say, it's like the Wild West. What? Wolverhampton? he did say it. He said it's like the Wild West because at that time they had some shootings here, right? And there was some violence in Wolverhampton. And when you hear of violence in England, you know it's a big thing, isn't it? If there's a shooting or some kind of crime. But where I come from, I was living in a city in Durban, in Johannesburg. Literally, you hear gunshots going off at night, almost every night, if you live in the city. You know, and eventually you sleep through gunshots, and you just don't even hear it. Like the train, you know, if you live near a train line, you don't hear it. That's very much like that. But in my spirit, I thought, because I've been working out in the wild anyway, doing the work of evangelism, I don't want to go to a place where the gospel is known. And Paul said, you should go to a place where the gospel is not known so that you don't build on somebody else's foundation. You want to go to reach new souls into the kingdom of God. That's why we rejoice over Agenda and many others that come to the Lord who don't know. This is what our purpose is, not so that we can fill it with other believers and Christians that come from all different churches. We want to fill the church with people that don't know Jesus Christ, that are out there in the world that need a sense of hope and looking for some strength that they can only find in God. And when they come in here, they'll meet a family, and then we will start to teach them all about Jesus Christ. That's what our purpose is. So I thought, well, that's a big challenge for me. It is scary, as he says, but I thought in my spirit, well, bring it on, Lord. You know, whatever you want me to do. I didn't realize what we would go through. It hadn't been difficult. It hadn't been easy. It's been a very difficult journey because the kind of culture and the kind of thinking here to, you know, London and elsewhere is very different, isn't it? So I discovered that later on. I thought, well, England is small. I mean, the old country is like one of our provinces in South Africa, you know? So Abraham had to get out of his comfort zone. Let's go back to the word. Get out of his security. Get out of the usual. God is saying something to you today. God has called you to do something. What are you trusting God for in your own life, right? And in most cases, the things that we are trusting God for, we're focusing on that thing that we want so desperately or so much in need of that we're forgetting about the getting out part of it. Isn't it? And in most cases, when everything works out and fits perfectly well, God, if you can send me, download some good stuff on the internet about Canaan and about the place I'm going to, give me some good references, some good leaders out there that will stand with me, respect me, and work with me, and then I will go. No problem. He didn't do that. You know what I'm saying? There was no internet there anyway. But he could have done all his research. He was a wealthy man, the Bible says, when he left his father's house. Who wants to leave the place of wealth and comfort? The businesses that grow their businesses and become more successful are the businesses that want to take risk when they are making money. They look for other ways of growing their money and investment. We hope that Dwight Dunbar will come and teach us some things of how he became successful in America. So that's what it is, isn't so? And that's what it is. Another way to spell faith is R-I-S-K, risk, going into the unknown. He had to get out. Before he received the promises and the blessings of God, he had to do something. Now, we could have heard all the prophecies and all the great things spoken about our lives, and we can hold on to the promises of God, write them big and bold, and put them in our home and in our churches. But if we haven't got out of where we are to where God wants us to go to and make that effort and walk towards that, you are not going to receive that, and I'm not going to receive the blessings and the promises that God has for my life. It's not going to just fall into my lap. Isn't so? We tell our kids that if you want to make something out of your life, go and get educated, study hard, and you will make it. But if they sit at home and they don't want to study and they don't want to write their exams and they don't want to work hard, they're not going to produce good results, and at the end, they're going to suffer from that, isn't it? So likewise, God always has something waiting for us when we get out of that comfort zone, when we get out of the ordinary, the usual, to the unusual, to the unknown, only because God is saying. I'm not just saying to make any random decision and just run wild with anything that you think you know God is saying, but it's important to know the voice of God. And you know what? Most of us can just trace back to the time where God spoke to us specifically about things that we needed to do in our lives, and it got lost somewhere on the path. Somebody perhaps had given us wrong counsel. We're in the wrong place, and we're now on a different path, and we're confused, and we are in some kind of trouble also because we're not where God wants us to be. And we need to trace back our steps, go back. I remind myself every single day about what God told me in 1995. Every single day I remind myself of that, about the vision and the calling God gave into my life. And it wasn't easy for Abraham. He went out and you look there. Abraham departed in verse 4. He departed as the Lord had spoken to him and Lot. And we've been studying this. If you can make it and you're at home, the Wednesday Bible study is absolutely fantastic. Julie will tell you about that. Sometimes we just want to... We're going to get into a place where we want to shout and scream and pray. Because some of these nuggets that are coming out of the Old Testament, and we're studying, and thank God for Gil, she was bringing the study on Abraham, and there's so much of stuff in Abraham already. That's why he's spoken about in the New Testament. Just in the New Testament, the Bible mentions him about 74 times. And you know what? They say if the Bible says something once, it's very important. If it's saying it twice, so you need to listen twice as hard and take it. But Abraham's mentioned about 74 times in the New Testament. Altogether in the Bible, about 250 times or 230 times. I can't remember clearly. But that's how many times that this man is mentioned up in the Bible, and I think we need to take him seriously. He was a righteous man because of his obedience to God. It was all accounted to him as his righteousness. And also, the man was prosperous on the earth. He was blessed. Did he face hardships? Yes. Did he go through difficult times? Yes, he did. Okay. He departed and left, right? Verse 4. If you go down, verse 9. And Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. Remember, the journey was not easy, right? We didn't have all the virgin trains, and we didn't have all these great flights. So he's out with his livestock, he's out with his servants, and the roads are rough. There's no tarred roads there. You know, there's no little chefs on the side of the road where you can stop and have a nice steak. You know, the man's on this uncomfortable journey, right? I don't know what he must have faced on his journey, thieves, robbers, or whatever that he could have encountered on this journey. But the man kept his face focused on the place that God wanted to take him. You see, we don't see all the things that the man had to go through to get to where his promise and blessing was. He faced all these kind of obstacles. I don't know whether there was murmurings and complainings amongst his servants, because they all could have said, well, you know, we work for this man. Everything is fine. And where we're living in Ur of the Chaldees, why do we have to go out into the wilderness? You know, staff can complain when there's a change in the company. When they make some changes in the company, why do they do that? Why do they make that decision? Why do they have to move me from this department? I've been here for 20 years and I like it here. I've got all my friends here. I know how to operate the machines here. But now you're taken away and put somewhere else. Because God has his plan through all of that, isn't so? And the refining process is like that, because God is on a journey with us. And he's never left Abraham. God is journeying with us all the time. And he watches us when we murmur, when we complain, and we're grumbling about all the little things, or even major or big things that we grumble and moan and complain about. Because he's saying to us, in other words, aren't you with me? Isn't this the journey that I put you on? And that's what he will do. He'll be with us. So we go on, and he journeys. He still, the Bible clearly tells us, going on still, the man was persistent. He persevered. Persevered. And there he goes. Verse 10. Look at this now, right? Now there was a famine in the land. How's this? For difficulties and struggles. God comes, gives you a great prophetic word. You feel it in your spirit. You're just so worked up with this. You stir your spirit up, and you've gone full speed ahead. And then there's obstacles. There may be murmuring in the camp, complaining and grumbling. And then there's a famine also. But God has given you the word. How come there's a famine? How come he's facing this kind of a disaster? And Abraham had to make some adjustments, and he had to do some things during that time. So he went down to Egypt to dwell there. He's still on his way, but he stayed in Egypt to dwell there because of the famine. The Bible says, for the famine was severe in the land. Sounds familiar, isn't so? Today, when they talk about recession, it's like a famine, isn't so? And it may sound severe when you think of some of these major companies and businesses that are closing down, that have multi-million businesses that are just closing down overnight. You know? But the promises of God is still true, even though around Abraham everything was collapsing and disaster was right there on his doorstep. God's promises are still true to us, even in the midst of our difficulty. His word is his word, and he never goes back on his word. So easy that Abraham could have said, this is now disaster. You know, I've followed God. I've come up to this point. I don't know how long it took for him to get there to this place near Egypt. And why would I have to stay there when my father, if father's place. There's a place of prosperity and blessing. Let me go back to my father's place and hang around there and stay there, because this famine is so severe, I don't know what's going to happen. That's what happens to us at times. We'll think about what's going to happen to my stuff. What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to all the things that I have? And the man had livestock, the Bible says. He was a wealthy man. Right? The Bible says that he was rich. So going out now, can you imagine that? And you have to do that sometimes in business, isn't it? Make those decisions sometimes in business. Put some monies and investments in certain things. I had to do that myself when I was in business. Because God is saying something and you need to move towards that line. It's so important to hear the voice of church. It is so important to hear the voice of God in whatever we do. To make sure that every step on the way that we are in tune with God, and that we are on track, and we're on the right place, and we're going to the right place, the right direction. It's us. Personally, God spoke to us. He told us what to do. We just have to hear His voice and keep going. Yes, there may be famines and obstacles in the way, but just keep focused on what God said, because of what God said, it's going to happen. Right? And we just need to keep persevering and keep going. So he moved out and he went. So he lived there in this place of famine for a period, because they say it was very severe. And he comes out of that. He comes out of famine. The Bible says in chapter 13, let's read there, chapter 13, verse 1. And Abram went from Egypt. You see, he had a short stay there. Well, I don't know how long it lasted. There was a time of famine. God pulled him through the famine. But he did not stay there, put his tent there, and make it home. Because he knew that he had to reach his final destination. Now, this is how we can get distracted, right? God calls us out, gives us a word. We know what our ministry and our calling and our gifting is. We start off on that journey. We go, we have obstacles, we have difficulties and hardships. And then we stay for a certain while. When everything starts to get blessed, we start to see fruit. And then we start to hang around and hang around and hang around and hang around so long, they almost forget that's not our final destiny. That's not our final purpose. That's not where we're supposed to be, but we're seeing fruit and we want to stay there. In my life, it happened to me like that in ministry. We started off working in the poor settlement areas, preaching the gospel, and eventually I had an opportunity through a local church. And through a local church is always God's plan to get connected to them. We got connected to the local church and we started to help out, and the church was growing. We saw a lot of fruit, a lot of young people. At one time, 75 to about 100 young people were coming in a small room where we were doing some ministry with. We helped out with the band, raised up the worship team, and helped out the minister with his work, and the work started to grow, and people were blessed, a lot of fruit that we saw. But we hung around, and we hung around, and I began to enjoy that fruit, and I'm thinking, this is a great thing to do. I'm enjoying the fruit. And then God brought a clear word, you are not supposed to be here. I'm giving you 2 weeks to get out. It was not the church. It was my calling. I was called as a minister. And to me, it's nice and easy when another minister is in charge and he's taking the responsibility and I'm just enjoying fruit. Isn't it? It's almost a place of comfort. But you're looking at a fruit and you're thinking, well, this is a great place. And that's what happens in businesses as well. I like to throw this now and again because we learn from some of these business examples. You know, the Swiss people were the first to create the digital watch. Do you know that? But when the person came up with the design of a digital watch, the directors looked at that and just thought, foolish, digital, who wants to look at that? We like to look at the needles and all the gears and everything that goes in the watch. That's what makes it the Swiss watch. The Japs came and ran wild with it. And today, almost everybody uses Japanese watches, isn't it? I've got one here. It's got a face, but it's Japanese engineered. You know, and look at what happened, where they owned the monopoly of watches at one time, making all the money. It's now gone somewhere else, isn't it? So be creative. Oh, God is like that. He's a creator God. Who's put all this into our mind? So what happens is that when God wants to change things in us and he wants us to get out, we still want to stay there because it looks secure, it looks prosperous, it looks good, it looks fruitful, and I like to stay here because I feel secure here. And God is saying, something else is coming, because God knows the future, you see. God knows what's going to happen. And I believe God wants to make his church and his people wealthy, rich, prosperous people. He wants businesses to grow. Why? Because the church can grow, the ministry can grow, we can help more poor people, we can feed more people in the food banks, and we can go out and preach the gospel, and we can reach millions and masses of people, because then it'll all come from the church. We don't have to look to the government, we don't have to look to some kind of organization to help us with funding when we want to go out and spread the gospel. The only reason God blesses us with things materially and blesses us and prosper us is for the purpose of the gospel, not so that we can eat and we get fat and sit at home and enjoy that. No, it's for the purpose of the gospel. So that's what he's saying in Revelations. I'm going off my topic now. In Revelations, he says he's made us kings and priests. Isn't it? So if you're not called as a priest to continue with the work of the ministry, then you are obviously called to become prosperous at what you do, at your work, at your business, at your enterprise. God had called you to be prosperous. It's a calling, right? It's a calling. Abraham was in the same situation. This is what he does. He meets Melchizedek in chapter 14. I'll close with that, right? Melchizedek is the king of Salem. There are some keys in the Old Testament that will help you, that will help you also prosper in whatever you're doing. Now, this doesn't just apply in businesses only, but it'll apply in your education. It'll apply in your career path. It'll apply in all the things that you're looking to and you're trusting God for in your ministry, your calling, your giftings. These are all important keys for you and for me. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, in verse 18, chapter 14, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And you know what? Abraham recognized the priestly office of Melchizedek. And what does he do in verse 19? And he blessed him and he said, blessed be Abraham. That's what the job of the priest is. That's what I am released to do, to bring blessings upon you, to pray for you, to intercede for you, to seek God for you, for whatever you do. And I need to make the time to do that. That's why we're getting some of the men to take away some of the practical things away from me, so that I can be released to do that. That's the calling, that's my office, and that's what I'm supposed to do. And I must have the time to do that and spend the time in doing that. So this is what he did. He comes out there, he's the priest of the Most High God. That's what the Bible calls him. And he blesses Abraham, the Most High God, and he says, the possessor of heaven and earth, and he blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. God had prospered and blessed this man so much. He had an edge around him. And you know what Abraham did? In the next verse, in verse 20, it says, and he gave him a tithe of all. He gave him a tithe of all. Keys already in the Old Testament. Why was he a blessed man? He was a giver. He was a giver. He respected God's order. He recognized a priest already. The priest recognized him as a man that already had blessings upon his life. And Abraham gives him a tithe of all, the Bible says, of all that he possessed. He blessed him with the tithe of that. God wants to get more to us, and he doesn't want to get it out of us. That's what sometimes, you know, people may think giving is, oh man, this is all I have to live on. Well, God wants to get more to you. God wants to get more to me. And sometimes it means giving what we have, getting out of the comfort, getting out of that security of ours, and saying, God, I'm getting out of my security by giving, because I'm trusting that you are God, and you are a provider, and you'll prosper and bless me, that there'll be food in my home, there'll be a shelter, and you'll provide for me and my kids. That's our God. So getting out of the comfort, getting out of the ordinary into the unusual is where God's always calling his people. Why? Because he wants to teach us faith. Why? So he wants to get more to us. And see that everything he said to us, like he told Abraham, is going to come to pass, and he's going to bless us with it. So many situations you hear of where people said impossible, it's not going to be done, can't be done, it won't work out. And he did, for those that trusted God. Some of the major businesses today in America had started off with practicing the principles of God's word. KFC is one of them. A big enterprise and business. You travel all over the world, even in India, even in Africa. Some of the remote places in Africa we travel to, you'll find a KFC there. What's your dream, eh? But if you think of it, how people started off. You see, when you put God first and number one in your life, and you listen to his voice, and you go out and do what he asks you to do, he will bless you for generations to come. How nice it would be that one day we are not here, and our children or other people that may come into Wolverhampton have the building, come in here and fellowship, and we look one day from heaven and say, wow, I was part of that church. Look at them today. Because you planted your seed and became part of the family. God, as he's told Abraham, I will bless you and I will bless all those that bless you. There are some times that God will have his favor upon you, that people who don't even know God will be blessed just because of you. Let me give you a physical example of that. We were in Washington in the middle of a hurricane. It was after 20 years that Washington was going to face this. We were right at the place where we were staying. The eye of that hurricane was going to hit that town and that place. First time we had experienced a hurricane like that. And we hadn't heard much of that. But all the American news, you know how they make this quite big. Where scientists can fly into these eyes and measure the storms. And comes back with all the scary news and tell you what's going to happen. All the shops, you know, began to get packed with people buying all their supplies for weeks, and water and meat and all kinds of stuff, food and all kinds of stuff, and things that they don't have to refrigerate because they know that they'll lose their electricity. So you would see that in the buzz in the city, and everybody is just on full alert because of this hurricane coming. Now, at that moment, my wife said, let's leave. We don't need a hurricane. We're here just on a short time. Let's go to New York because there's no hurricane in New York. And I'm saying, no, we're going to stay here and face the storm. God had called us there to be there. But you know what we did? We knew that we carry the favor of God upon our lives. And he promises us, because if you know your purpose and you know the things that God wants you to do, then you know that God's going to bless you with life to do that, isn't it? And with long life, the Bible says in Psalms, it will satisfy us. And many times we take these promises before God and we know that we want to fulfill all these promises for the purpose of the kingdom. So the kingdom must be bigger than what we want to do. Your job, your education, and all the things that you want to do, you want to attain, that must not be bigger than what God wants to do in your life. The kingdom stuff is always above our earthly stuff. Some of the earthly stuff that we do will take us towards our destiny and our purpose, but our ultimate goal is kingdom at the end of the day. Don't let the work situation and the NHS or whoever you work for distract you from that, because they can take your mind off kingdom stuff. They can really do that. You go to the hospitals and secular places, they can almost take your mind. That's what it is. The pressure of this world and the tension of this world is to take you and cause you to look at something else rather than looking at your main goal and purpose in life. It's God. So what we did in Washington, this is what we did. We believed in the Word of God. We stood on the Word of God, on the promises of God, and we know that we are protected wherever we are. We took a little bit of oil, and we went around that old block where we lived. And we started to pray blessings upon the place, pray God's protection upon that place, and then we started to anoint that old place with oil, that block around where we stayed. The night the hurricane hit that place, and I watched that, and you don't go to sleep when something like that happens. Everybody is just waiting to see what's going to happen. The wind were blowing. It was just absolutely chaos, wild. Huge trees, you could see them, and the branches almost touching the window pane of the house that we're living in. Branches falling, trees, everything. It's just in a total mess. You catch bits and pieces of news, and some of these news reporters were just flung about with all this force of the wind. But as all this thing subsided, and the next day when everything was quiet and calm, we opened the doors and got out and we looked outside. It was in a state. With trees, leaves, branches all over the place. But the thing is, the only loss that we had was the telephone lines and the electricity that was turned off. Other people suffered terrible damage. We walked around that same place where we've anointed that place. And where we prayed over the place, and just right outside where we prayed, you can see the cars with big trees fallen on them, and destruction, tiles of roof blown apart, lots of destruction all around above that. And one of the neighbors, what did she say? She said, somebody up there loves us. He said, no, we know who it is. So your protection and your blessing, wherever you are, if you're in a place of famine, in a place of difficulty, and they say you're going to lose your job or you have lost your job, no, you haven't lost anything. God is just taking you closer to your destiny and your purpose. Abraham faced famine, but he went on. He went on to where God wanted to take him, and God blessed him.